5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Thursday, July 2nd, on 91.9 FM, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, a new study finds the number of puffins on the Kodiak Archipelago is plummeting. But first, state foresters say prompt action by firefighting crews have successfully contained a roughly 1 acre wildfire reported near Soldotna on Wednesday evening. The Alaska Division of Forestry and Fire Protection first reported the so-called Martha Fire around 5:45 p.m., burning in spruce and grass near Pavilion Drive and Martha Circle, close to Mackey Lake. The division initially estimated the blaze's size at 5 acres and had said it threatened nearby homes, but did not order evacuations. By 7:30 p.m., the division reported that the fire was contained due to fast response by firefighters, including helicopters and central emergency services. The state initially also called in air tankers to help respond, but canceled that order Wednesday evening after firefighters stopped the fire's growth. A spokesperson with the Alaska Division of Forestry said Thursday the exact cause of the fire is still under investigation, but the state has ruled out lightning, which suggests the blaze was human-caused. Wednesday's fire was reported 2 weeks after a wildfire grew to almost 90 acres in Sterling. It took state and local firefighters about a week to fully contain the fire, which was started by a campfire. As of Thursday afternoon, the state says fire danger on the Kenai Peninsula is very high. Burn permits are currently required on the Kenai Peninsula. Campfires are still allowed when burn permits are required, but must be less than 3 feet in diameter, with a 5-foot buffer and enough water nearby to put the fire out if it begins to spread. Up-to-date information about wildfires around the state is available on the Alaska Wildland Fire website at akfireinfo.com. Alaska lawmakers failed to meet an informal deadline Wednesday to vote on a bill reducing taxes for the Alaska LNG project. Lawmakers had planned to reconvene in Juneau to vote on a compromise drafted by a conference committee. But leaders of the bipartisan coalitions controlling the House and Senate say they're still working out the details after a lengthy series of hearings on Friday and Saturday. They are now planning for a final vote for July 16th. Soldotna Representative Justin Ruffridge, representing the House's all-Republican minority on the conference committee, says his caucus is in the dark. So he and 7 other House Republicans showed up to the Capitol to make their case during what's known as a technical session.
There's been supposedly a lot of work that's been done over the last 3 days. I couldn't tell you what that is because I haven't been a part of it. And I think that's frustrating for a lot of people. So they try to come find out what's happening on their own.
Technical sessions are typically uneventful. Lawmakers gavel in and quickly adjourn without taking any action. But House Minority Leader Delana Johnson, a Palmer Republican, says she planned to object to adjourning. That would give Republicans a chance to express their concerns about the slow progress on the bill on the floor. But they didn't get that chance. Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, canceled the session instead.
To have a number of members come down for a technical session after they were advised not to come down just to create political theater is not helping the process.
Edgman says lawmakers are making progress behind the scenes. He says he expects the conference committee to roll out a new draft of the gas pipeline tax bill Thursday with what he described as technical fixes and cleanup language. Lawmakers also, Wednesday, declined to attempt an override of nearly $90 million in state budget items vetoed by Governor Mike Dunleavy. Edgman says lawmakers simply did not have the 3/4 supermajority needed to override a budget veto. And, finally, puffins are one of Alaska's most recognizable seabirds. Their colorful faces adorn t-shirts, hats, tote bags, you name it. But according to a study published last month, the birds' numbers are plummeting on the Kodiak Archipelago. As KMXT's Catherine Irving reports, the study's authors hope their research can inform conservation decisions both locally and nationally.
Katie Stoner is the lead author of the study and a marine ornithologist at Oregon State University.
Puffins are really amazing. These species are really part of the identity, I think, of the Kodiak archipelago.
But the iconic birds are struggling across their range. On the west coast of the U.S., there are two species of puffin, horned and tufted. In the lower 48, tufted puffin numbers have dropped by as much as 90% since the early 1900s. Not much is known about their horned puffin cousins, but scientists think their population is also in decline. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service chose not to list them as threatened or endangered in 2020. Stoner says that the number of puffins in the Gulf of Alaska played a part in Fish and Wildlife's determination. The Gulf population accounted for nearly 40% of all breeding tufted puffins in North America.
The population within the Gulf of Alaska was considered to be stable in that assessment. However, the assessment was only informed by data from a few colonies in the region.
Studies in Prince William Sound and Cook Inlet have shown that puffins in the Gulf might be struggling more than the datasets used for the 2020 assessment might have led on. To see if the same was true in Kodiak, Stoner reviewed data on the archipelago's puffins going back to the 1970s.
Since we had this data that hadn't been included in that status assessment, we wanted to use it to see if our findings sort of aligned.
One of the study's co-authors, Fish and Wildlife Service wildlife biologist Robin Corcoran, collected over 11 years of that survey data for both tufted and horned puffins when she worked at the Kodiak National Wildlife Refuge. Corcoran was in Kodiak for more than 15 years until leaving her refuge job in the fall of 2024.
So the refuge at the time had a vessel, and we would go around the archipelago, and we would conduct the surveys from a small skiff that we trailered behind the bigger boat.
Driving along straight lines called transects, Corcoran and her team would count the number of puffins they could see within a certain distance around the island. Stoner classified this as at-sea data, and she also compiled data from surveys of the archipelago's breeding colonies, which she called colony data. She used that data to generate a model estimating the populations of horned and tufted puffins over time, both at breeding colonies and at sea.
For tufted puffins within the Kodiak archipelago, we found from the colony data that from 1975 to 2021, tufted puffins declined by 88%. And from the at-sea data, we found declines of 50%.
For horned puffins, Stoner found a 67% drop at colonies and a 22% drop at sea. She says she's not sure yet why there were such big differences between the colony and at sea numbers, but she says the results are concerning.
With this new information, it kind of contradicts the fact that the population was classified as stable within the species status assessment.
Stoner is still working to figure out why the Gulf is seeing such a big drop, when other places in Alaska, like the Aleutians, are actually seeing their puffin numbers go up. She says the main cause is likely climate change and marine heat waves, which have been stronger in the Gulf than elsewhere in Alaska. Corcoran says another factor is bycatch.
Some of those setups, I mean, they set them right on the colony.
As part of the study, Stoner mapped out places that have high puffin concentrations across the archipelago.
This could inform management in terms of targeting it in areas where puffins are really abundant, so where we want less puffins to be bycatched. Some other examples could be potential aquaculture, especially where it may occur near colonies. Maybe that's not the best location for an aquaculture facility.
Puffins are not currently being reconsidered for listing under the Endangered Species Act, but if they were to be in the future, Corcoran says she wouldn't be surprised. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Eric Stone in Juneau and from Catherine Irving in Kodiak. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a terrific and safe 4th of July weekend.